thing. So as we look in verse 47, said, but Solomon built him a house. We know David couldn't, but he laid up in store all the materials. Says 48, howbeit the Most High dwelleth not in temples made with hands, as saith the prophet, heaven is my throne, and earth is my footstool, and what house will you build me, saith the Lord, or what is the place of my rest? Hath not my hand made all these things? And so God's saying, or the word of God saying here, is God not bigger than all this? He's not saying that God is not pleased with a church or church building. He's just saying you can't just contain God in here. God's bigger than this, right? And so that's all he's saying. And I know the Holy Ghost of God, he dwells in all of us. We know that when we're born in the family of God. But he doesn't just dwell in me. He's bigger than that. He dwells in all the believers. And so he's bigger than that. And so God is bigger than just dwelling here. You know, we reverence the church. We feel that that is necessary according to scriptures, and it's the right thing to do and to appreciate it. You know, but we know that if we go down to the fellowship hall and we invite God in, he's there. You know, we're not ignorant about that. But even if we go there for that time of worship, we want to reverence it. I mean, I've been in or done many tent revivals, held many tent revivals, and I always felt to reverence it, respect it, just like I would the church, because I feel like I've invited God to have right away, to have rule, to have reign there. And so to reverence God, then wherever I'm at, you know, I want it to be what God wants it to be, and a place to reverence. So we know that you can't build a house just for God to dwell in, okay? He's too big. He's too big. Heaven is his throne, the earth his footstool. So how are you going to build him a house? You know, you can't build him a house just to keep him in. But sometimes we even put him in something smaller than that. Sometimes we put him in something that's smaller than the tissue box. And what I mean by that is we won't ask him, or we won't trust him for things in our life. And or we don't allow him to work in our life. And so we kind of put him in a place, you know, that he's smaller, and that maybe we'll get him out when we need him. Okay, instead of him being ruling and reigning and in our lives and being who he is, because I mean, he is Lord. Heaven is my throne, earth is my footstool. What house will you build me, saith the Lord? Or what is the place of my rest? Hath not my hand made all these things? So how are we gonna give him anything, really? I mean, he already has it. He's saying he already owns it all. You know, what we got and what we give, like on Sunday morning or worship time, we give in our tithes or offerings. We're just giving back to God. He gave it to us, and then we're giving back just to show him that we appreciate him, right? And what he done, and we've got faith that he's going to continue blessing. You know, it shows some faith. When we give back, I mean, it takes faith. It takes faith, and because sometimes, you know as well as I do, you know, your insurance is due, whether it's auto insurance, your homeowners, and your mortgage payment come due, and all of these things, and you know, sometimes it gets tight. So what do? We hold back on God and say, well, you know, God, he doesn't need it. Well, God doesn't need it. But it's kind of a little test of faith, is what it is. Where is our faith at? Where is our faith? And I know that those things aren't easy, and they're not easy to talk about. As soon as the pastor, I mean, a pastor can say something about money one time in a year, and people will go out of the church building and say, that Sunday, that's all he ever talks about. You know why? Because that caught their attention, and that's all they've heard. Because they were worried about their money. Right? If you got somebody complaining about the preacher, all he's preaching about is money, that's because they're worried about their money. They're worried. They're in love with their money. Yep. And so they complain about the preacher because they love it. And they don't want to turn it loose, which is all right with me. That's between them and God. I don't have a problem. You can just listen and hear the squeaks in me. Hath not my hand made all these things? Now this is when it's going to get rough, people. In verse 51, Stephen is going to get down to the meat of things. All right, and folks aren't going to like it. He said, "You stiff neck and uncircumcised in heart and ears." Now that's some hard preaching. He's telling them, "Ye do always resist the Holy Ghost, as your fathers did, so do ye." So he's saying, you're no different than your fathers were. They rejected Joseph. They rejected Moses. They rejected David. And now you're rejecting Christ. They're saying you're no different than your fathers were. You're stiff-necked. You won't give in. You won't listen to what's been preached and what's been taught. It's your way, right? And so he said, "You stiff-neck and uncircumcised in heart and ears." So, in other words, they hadn't received Christ. They hadn't been born again. There hadn't been a circumcision of the heart. The old man hadn't been done away with. They still had the old ears, till they couldn't hear the word. They couldn't hear the truth. They were settled. Now they knew the word. They knew the Old Testament, every letter of it. And they were settled on that, and they weren't going to hear anything, right? Because they already had in their mind what they believed, and they weren't going to look and say, "Well, you know, look what's happening here, and look how this man is, and all these things that God has proven himself." They're not going to say, "You know, maybe we ought to give him a listen today." You know, they were listening up until now. They was listening about the fathers and all this and how they done that, how it's our bloodline and all this is good. But now it's getting different. It's getting different with them. "As your fathers did, so do ye. Which of the prophets have not your hearts or your fathers persecuted?" Which one of the prophets have your fathers? Which one did they not persecute? They persecuted all of them. They hated them with a passion. Because they told them the truth. And so they hated them. You know what the world hates today? I should say it this way. You know what the church world hates today? The truth. The truth. Those that act, those that pretend to be Christians, those that want to put on a coat of righteousness at church and take it off before they go out the door. You know what those kind of people hate? The truth. They hate the truth. They'll put all that mess on and come to church like it's all good, just like the Pharisees. But when the truth comes, they hate it. They hate it. And so that's why we got big buildings today filling up with people that don't tell it because they won't tell the truth. And so they're filling up because that's tickling the ear and they like that. That suits them. They live any way they want to live. I mean, their desire is to live wicked, and nothing changes about that. They have no remorse about their sin. They have no sorrow. They feel no chastisement when they sin against God. They always justify themselves. They justify themselves. And that's sickening. But and to have what so-called pastors, preachers, and those that won't tell them the truth, that's what's sick. That's what's sickening, and that's what's that's what's destroying our country today. That's why we have leaders that we have today. That's why we have the president we have today. I just say it like that. That's why we have the leaders we have today, is because the church has gotten so watered down overall, so watered down that the people they don't do what's right. They don't stand for what's right. It's a time of compromise. I'm not saying, I don't know, I won't say that we've ever had one perfect president. I'm not saying that. I'm not saying that we had a perfect one, and now we ain't never had a perfect president. We're not going to have. We're not perfect. But if we have one with some morals, I mean, I don't care party, what party, if they got morals, you know, and makes a big difference in the land today, and will do things that will help the people rather than hurt the people. When you see, I'm just going to say this, and I'll get back off that. But when you see these politicians and they go in, you know, with a median income or whatever, you know, and maybe they're middle class, maybe just getting the upper part, and they spend 4 years, you know, in the government, and they come out rich, something's going on, don't you think? Don't you think there's something wrong with that? There's some money coming out of the table somewhere, because their salary's not that much, right? And so, you know, a lot of crooked things. But there's a lot of crooked stuff going on here. That's why they don't like the message. Which of the prophets have not your fathers persecuted? They have slain them which show before the coming of the just one. Talking about Jesus, knows how it's capitalized. Just one. Right? You're just and you're one. The J should be capitalized and the O should be capitalized. Okay? If it's not, chunk it, all right? Of whom ye have been now the betrayers and murderers. Man, that's a hard message, calling them betrayers and murderers. Who have received the law by the disposition of angels and have not kept it. So they had the instructions by the angels, by the prophets, you know, those that had come before, they had instruction, but they would not receive it. And it's our day. I mean, it's the time we're living in. They have the instruction. I mean, you can find the truth. You can hear the truth if you want to hear the truth. It's there. It's out there. I mean, it's here. But they reject it. They reject it. But one thing, God has made it so even nature itself can teach you a lot of things. I mean, that's scripture. Yeah, nature itself can teach you a lot of things, right? I mean, I could throw two roosters in the chicken house, and for years I still not have no eggs or no chicks. Even though it's 2024 and I can't understand that. I mean, I should have some chicks, you know? So it's people reject. They do not want the truth. I mean, when they can be lied to that easily and deceived that easily, I mean, how can it be right? How can it be right when a man or woman, when they change their gender and they bring them into the church? How can it be right when they allow them to come and the pastor or whatever? How can you get that far away from the Bible? It's just unreal. It's unreal. They didn't keep it, and they're not gonna keep it today. When they heard these things, they were cut to the heart. He's getting somewhere now. You know what people say today? Well, you stepped all over my toes. Oh, it was the heart. It pricked your heart. And they gnashed on him with their teeth. It's serious. I mean, they're biting him. They're biting him, right? You ever been bit? I never had anybody in the church to bite me yet that I know of. I mean, I stay up to date on my shots, man. But that's crazy. That's how mad they got. That's how mad they got. And you see people get so mad sometimes they grind their teeth. I mean, they're really mad. And you see that, but thank God I've never been bitten yet. I don't know how I'd handle that. I don't think I could be as good as Stephen was, Sister Ellen. I'm afraid I couldn't do that. I don't know. It just depends, I see. No, I'm not good with that kind of stuff. But he being full of the Holy Ghost, and see, I guess that's where I would come up short. I just don't know how much Holy Ghost I'd have at that time. I'm just being honest with you. I don't know how much I'd have. He looked up steadfastly into the heaven and saw the glory of God and Jesus standing on the right hand of God. I don't know. I'm just going to be honest with you. I don't know if I would be looking for God. I mean, if they're gnashing on me and this bunch is hating me and they're coming ready to kill me, I just don't know, Sister Melissa, if I'm going to be looking for God or I'm going to be looking for something else. I hope I would. Really, I do. I hope I would. But I got to be honest. I mean, Stephen's doing something here that's just, out of character, out of nature for a man, right? I mean, that's not natural. This is not natural to be attacked. And you just look up to heaven, I'm like, Jesus did that, but we say what? But he was God in the flesh. He's the Son of God. What about Stephen? He's not God in the flesh. I'd like to be like that, Brother Leroy. But you come biting, somebody come biting, I don't know. They ain't going to be good, I don't think. I'm going to try. I think before it was over, they'd be looking for God. I don't know. I know where it's at. So he sees the Son of Man stand on the right hand of God. Then they cried out with a loud voice and stopped their ears. Now, I have had that to happen in church preaching. I've had them do this right in my sight. Yeah, and stick out their tongue and hum and all kind of things, and ran up on him with one accord. And I haven't had him run up on me, I've had him run the other way. And cast him out of the city and stoned him. And the witnesses laid down their coats at young man's feet, whose name was Saul. And so, which we'll find out that his name will be Paul. But he was right there. I mean, he was a murderer of the Christians. And you have people a lot of times, and you probably have it in your family or friends, that say, well, I've been too bad for God to save me. How much worse could you get than killing God's people, than stoning a man of God, right? And he saved him, didn't he? I just don't hardly see how you can get so bad, too bad, really. And they stoned Stephen, calling up on God and saying, Lord Jesus, receive my spirit. So they're stoning him, and Stephen is calling out on God and saying, receive my spirit. I mean, he's ready to go. Like Jesus on the cross said, Father, into thy hands commend I my spirit. I commend my spirit into thy hands. So that's a lot what Stephen was doing here. He's saying, just take me home. Right, just take me home. And he kneeled down and cried with a loud voice, Lord, lay not this sin to their charge. Now there goes another one I'd have a problem with. Yeah. Right? Lay not this sin to their charge. I'd be like, kill them, God. Yeah. I'd be like, if you don't kill them, I'm going to kill them. I mean, honestly, what would you do if they're stoning you and they're biting on you and they're beating you and all you've done is serve the Lord? And see, with our new modern religion trash we got today, if you're living for God, nothing bad's going to happen to you. You don't get any better than old Stephen here, and something bad's happening. Listen, you're not going to get out of bad. You're not going to get out of bad things by living for God. I mean, God can be with you and protect you and give you joy, but this is life, friends. I mean, this is the world we're in. The devil's loose, and he's seeking whom he may devour. So don't think you're not going to be troubled, and don't think those things. And when he had said this, he fell asleep. In other words, his spirit did go back to God. Right there, his spirit went back to God. What a blessing. Stephen, he wasn't no coward, and he took this and just calling up on God, and he stood there firmly. If he had been a coward, he wouldn't have preached this sermon. He wouldn't have said, ye stiff-necked and uncircumcised in heart. He wouldn't have said that to them. He wouldn't. He wasn't no coward. He certainly wasn't afraid to die. But he knew what what God had for him. I believe that God, he knew what God had planned. He knew this could be the end, and he had peace with that. And God allowed him to go out in that peace. And just think about what a reward. See, I wouldn't have no reward, but Stephen has a reward, right? Stephen has a reward. So just think about what a reward you could get if you can do this. Spiritually, yeah, right. Mm-hmm. Right. Right, exactly. Yeah. Mm-hmm. That's right. Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. Right, right. Right. And that's why, Brother Casey, we got to look at the prophets before us, the apostles here, and the preachers before. So we know, listen, that we can make it. They made it. We can make it. So, you know, it's just another thing, right? And all of us is going to suffer some type of persecution. And it's just going to happen in our lives. But we got to know that God's going to be faithful. And he's going to help us through no matter what the situation is. We don't understand it. And we don't know why we got to go through it. But we know God's always right. And God will do the right thing for us, right? All right, I'm going to quit, and we got through that one. Lord willing, we'll be starting on 8 pretty soon. And if you have any questions or comments, email Mr. Linda at mrlinda.deacon.gmail.com. All right. Brother Casey, I think, is going to sing some for us this morning before church starts. So we're going to start church now. But if you need to go to the restroom or whatever, you feel free to do that. Thank you.
I'm going home with Jesus in a twinkling of an eye. Made my reservation for the mansion in the sky. May not know the moment, may not know the day, but I know that I'll be leaving when he calls his church away. I'm going home with Jesus, twinkling of an eye. Made my reservation, mansion in the sky. May not know the moment, may not know the day, but I know that I'll be leaving when he calls his church away. Captain of a vessel, he's calling, get on board. Destination's heaven, safe on the crystal shore. Meet with all the Savior, the ones who's gone before. Then live for all eternity, oh yes, we're going home. Going home with Jesus in a twinkling of an eye. Made my reservation for the mansion in the sky. May not know the moment, may not know the day, but I know that I'll be leaving when he calls his church away. Well, I'm going home with Jesus, twinkling of an eye. Made my reservation for the mansion in the sky. May not know the moment, church, I may not know the day, but I know that I'll be leaving when he calls his church away. I'm listening for the trumpet to sound most any time. The crown of life that's waiting, thank God, will soon be mine. I got my invitation through a place called Calvary. By the precious blood of Jesus, my trip's been paid for me. I'm going home with Jesus, twinkling of an eye. I made my reservation for the mansion in the sky. Church, I may not know the moment, and I may not know the day, but I know that I'll be leaving when he calls his church away. May not know the moment, may not know the day, but I know that I'll be leaving when he calls his church away. For the mansion in the sky. May not know the moment, church, I may not know the day, but I know that I'll be leaving when he calls his church away. Going home with Jesus in a twinkling of an eye. I made my reservation for the mansion in the sky. May not know the moment, may not know the day, but I know that I'll be leaving when he calls his church away. May not know the moment, church, I may not know the day, but I know that I'll be leaving.